Hello, everybody, and welcome to the War Room. This one is for the UFC 268 co-main event for the strawweight title between the defending champion Rose Namajunas and the former champion Zhang Weili. Okay, so we know this is a rematch. The first fight ended in, what was it, a minute 16? Something like that. Minute 18, almost. Nice clean head kick from Rose. Really interesting fight. Obviously, it didn't last very long, but Rose is always moving around on the outside with good footwork, you know, stepping in with a few shots, but not really landing anything particularly significant. What was interesting is that it was actually Weili that was throwing the kicks throughout the fight. She threw six kicks in the first minute and a quarter, all to the inside low, which is interesting because that's kind of what she fell prey to when Rose stepped in to throw a kick, because she postured as if she was getting away from that. I'll come back to that in a second. Okay, let's have a quick look at their record. So obviously, Rose 11-4. She's got two knockouts, four rear naked chokes on a record, and a flying armbar, which was beautiful. I'll show you that in a minute. And we've got Weili, who is 21-2 with 10 knockouts and seven submissions, three armbars, three rear naked chokes, and a guillotine. 17 finishes out of 21 fights and knocking out almost 50% of her opponents. She's a powerhouse. She's very dangerous at every single range. I expect this fight to be longer. I expect this fight to be more challenging for Rose. Doesn't mean to say that Rose has not got the skills to win it. Absolutely, I think she does. But I do think that we'll get a more competitive fight this time around. 100% takedown defense for Weili is the only thing I really want to point out on the stats before we get into it. The reason that that is relevant is because it's 100% takedown offense based on two takedown attempts. Whereas Rose has had 14 attempts at her and she's defended seven of them. So, you know, although the stats don't look comparable when it's 50% on one side and 100% on the other, bear that in mind. What else is there to say? And, you know, the experience as well for Weili. So right after the fight, she was immediately confused. She didn't know exactly what had happened. And then she was angry and she was kind of pacing up and down, kind of uneasy. I get it. I mean, you know, I've been knocked out in the first round as well. And like you have this moment afterwards when you realize what's happened and then it starts to sink in, like actually what's happened. And then you realize you can't get the day back. And that this is now how things are, and that knockout is on your record. And that for Weili must be really frustrating because she'd never been stopped before. You know, her losses on her record bookend the 21 wins, which is quite incredible, really, that streak that she was on. And that her first loss was in a first pro fight, and that was a decision over two rounds. So again, you know, I'm sure she was very frustrated coming out of that one, but at the same time, she got to the end of the fight. She heard the judges announce the winner. Everything made sense. You know, what a reflection of on that fight is inconsequential now. The reason I'm saying that is because I want to bring highlight to the fact that her perception of the last fight is what I'm interested in. Like what is her perspective of it? Like, did she just get caught? Was it a bad calculation? Did she underestimate Rose? How has she been dealing with it? You know, I mean, after the fight, she cut her hair and she's like, right, I'm rededicating and, you know, get the belt back, et cetera. But it must have added a whole new level of motivation. And she already trained very, very hard anyway. I've always been interested to watch her style of training because she's got that Wushu Sanda background. There are some really traditional styles of training that she does, which remind me of my old days training back in China. And I like it, you know, some of the balance and the core stability training that she does. One of the reasons why she's so ferocious when people clinch up with her, which I think is where she can really push Rose this time around. Okay, let's have a quick look at the ending for that first fight, because we need to understand exactly what happened. So here we are on the clock. Look, we're counting right down. We're counting into the second minute of the fight here. And Rose has been kind of moving on the outside. She's been going back and forth, throwing a few shots in. Weili, as I said, has thrown six kicks off the front leg to the inside of Rose's leg. So it's almost like they're both going into this agreement that there's like a feeling out process. Like, I'm going to tag you. I'm going to throw a couple of shots. But nobody's really committing to anything. So that's why I feel like the reaction that Whaley gave when Rose stepped forward to throw the kick is it was warranted, because she thought they were kind of still playing that feeling out process. She didn't think that the first kick that Rose was going to throw was going to be to the head. And I also think that Rose sold it very well as well by, you know, eyeballing her lead leg. But what you'll see here is Rose is going to step through. She kind of bounces out, steps hard. Look at that. Look at that lift. So planted on the foot, steps out, and then lifts that leg hard, steps. And she gets the reaction out of Whaley as if the as she's stepping up and this right foot's planting in, that this foot is going to come to the inside leg. So she gets that reaction out of Whaley. See how she pulls that lead leg away? She was expecting that kick to go whistling past the leg and then they'd be back to 50-50 and the fight would continue. But instead, Rose brings it straight up that center line and catches her right on the side of the head with it. And unfortunately as well for Whaley is because she'd pulled her leg and her hip back, it had kind of projected her head forward a bit onto the kick. Here we go. See it from the other angle. That big lift. It was like Rose wanted her to know that she was stepping. Lift, step, skipping. And that's where she's expecting the low kick to come. I mean, Rose just absolutely nailed that technically. Like, there's so little sell on that. At what point do you know that's going to be a high kick? I would say that's the point when you start to realize, and she's already started retracting her leg. Bang. Lovely kick. Really, really nice. And, you know, and I feel for Whaley as well, because obviously, you know, she came in very confident. She's on this huge win streak. She's expecting to, you know, to be more powerful and stronger and be able to kind of shut Rose down. And also, you know, coming off that fight of the year with Joanna, where they both took ridiculous amounts of punishment. Like, why would she think that the first shot that lands on is going to knock her out? Like, she's got this confidence in her chin and in her ability to, you know, take shots as well as land with power. Like, that's her trade sometimes, is that she's the more powerful fighter out of the two. So, you know, we'll go punch for punch and see who falls over first. Like, really, really nice skill. It's just one other angle. Here we go. We see it. I just watch this knee. Watch how she pulls it out, pulls her hips forward and pulls her hips back, but throws her head forward. I mean, it was just a terrible miscalculation, unfortunately. But she's certainly be far more cautious this time around against Rose. Okay, so that was their first fight, obviously. Now they're coming in for a rematch. So if we just focus on Rose for a minute, she's got a couple more losses on her record than Whaley, but she's kind of learning on the job. She's not had as much experience as Whaley. I mean, she had a couple of additional fights that aren't technically counted towards her record when she was in the Ultimate Fighter house. But, you know, like, you go back and she won two fights and then she lost a decision to Tisha Torres. Then she was in the Ultimate Fighter house and won three fights and then lost the finale to Carla Esparza. Picked up three wins, then lost a split decision to Kovalkovic. Picked up three more wins, including the belt, and then lost to Andrade. And then, I mean, it's like she takes a few steps forward and then there's a lesson for her. And then she regroups and then she takes a few steps forward and then she hits another lesson. It's almost like Whaley has managed to cruise all the way through a career with one decision loss without really being forced to kind of review what she's doing. I mean, in the fights that I've seen in Cunlan, she takes some shots occasionally. The couple of times that she's rocked, but the majority of the time she's dominating the fight. Majority of the time she's just too much for her opponents. And, well, let's watch some more footage. What do I expect from this fight? Well, I expect Whaley to be a bit more cautious and have a tighter guard, for sure. I expect her to be comfortable in every range still, because I think she'll feel like that first fight will not play out again. I think she's going to be comfortable at every range, and I think that's where she's got to be cautious, because I think Rose is dangerous at every range. Now, if they're playing on the outside, I don't think Whaley can cover distance quite as well as Rose, but I think that she hits slightly harder. Just generally with every shot. I think the reason that Rose lands with power is because she's precise and she's got great timing. I think if they close down into a clinch range, I think this is where Rose needs to work fast, because the clinch has never really been her friend in MMA. You know, she paid for that against Andrade. She's underpowered a lot of the time in that position. And this is where Whaley really just looks very, very strong. And I've seen lots of evidence of really good elbows and knees in a game, which we've not seen a great deal of aside from that win over Andrade. Okay. So on the outside, we get to see this really nice, like tight striking style of Weili, which is that Sander Sansao style. Lots of kicking, loose, flexible legs, steps in with big power shots, happy to switch stance as well and fight out of either stance, but does tend to gravitate a bit more towards orthodox. But remember what we saw against Andrade. You know, we saw clinched knees. We saw her, you know, we saw her express that power and that explosivity when she closed her down. Now, this was a really clean shot that she landed in the first round in this fight. She's actually beaten this opponent twice. Sattelmeyer, I think her name is. But this is really where I think it starts to become problematic for Rose, when she starts to close her down and grab a hold of her and starts to bully her around a little bit. Like, I think Rosie needs to be all the way out or all the way in and trying to grapple, trying to force this into a jiu-jitsu match. Because even if it's slightly on the outside, when Whaley's stepping in, I mean, she just does a number on this opponent with these elbows. She steps in and she kind of hacks with them, hacking lead elbow. It's very much a Muay Thai style. But that is a very uncomfortable style to deal with, especially if you've tried to take this opponent down a couple of times and they've stuffed it and now they're confident they can walk you down. And it opens up other things as well. It's not just Rose that's landing killer high kicks. I mean, look at that, right to the neck. And this poor girl here had already been taken down and just beaten up on the canvas. I mean, she had a massive swelling on her forehead and all kinds of stuff. And as I was talking about with those elbows, like there are so many different ways of throwing elbows. Like, most of the time when you see someone doing it, they're throwing that traditional cross elbow, right? Even that's got two divisions. There's a slice and a smash. But with Weili, she's using up elbows, she's using vertical smash elbows, and she's also using these hacking elbows, which it makes the most of this bony little part of the elbow here. I've seen a couple of fighters, Kenny Florian, really good with this. Like, he would hack at the head from the side like this and open up all kinds of cuts. He did it to Sean Sherk. I saw Sami Berek use it against Abdul Muhammad. I mean, that's a fight most of you won't have ever seen, but it happened, believe me. Like, they're really useful. And because Whaley's so strong, when she's got that single necktie and she's hacking away with those elbows, she can accentuate it by using that physical power to pull you onto those elbows. And it's either going to go one or two ways. Like, we've just seen that head kick knockout from Weili. It's either going to end up by her opponent backing up and creating more space for her long range strikes and those head kicks, or it's going to close down and they're either going to try for a takedown and maybe end up in bottom position, or they're going to get beaten up and end up in bottom position because they're starting to crumble. And like, watch how she uses these elbows. Watch at the variety and the direction. All legal elbows as well. There's nothing 12-6 about these. She's coming down with the side of the elbow. And I mean, and honestly, she opens this opponent up, gives her a big lump on the underside of her head, cuts her up pretty bad, just overwhelming. And what does that open up? You know, if she finds herself in a mount position and she's hammering these shots down, Rose might be scrambling to get out. And she did have that rear naked choke loss against Carla Esparza. Now, Weili, for me, she's got three rear naked chokes on her record, but she's also got really good arm bars. And we saw that in the UFC against Aguilar. Like, lovely control here at the wrist, always hitting, attacks that arm. And then this is again where the physical strength comes into play. Look how she just pulls this arm straight. My goodness, that is, like, you need to tap fast to that, because she's not holding back. She's not playing jiu-jitsu here. She's trying to take that arm home. Like, the physical power that she shows in her fights is for me, is the equalizer with Rose's movement. Like, Rose's got excellent movement. You know, she's very dangerous if you give her that space to kind of move around and find that rhythm, because then she'll start setting you up with those high kicks. I mean, look at the Michelle Waterson knockdown. And then the Joanna step-in left hook. You know, she's very good at covering distance, but she does like that space to move, and she's very good at creating that space as well. But I feel like this is where Weili, if she's going to find a way into this fight, it's not going to be playing on the outside where Rose is comfortable. It's going to be closing her down and getting a hold of her and starting to make it into a bullying matchup, really, where she kind of pushes her around. Then that forces Rose to make a decision. You know, does she create space and try and keep space and use those counter strikes as she's coming in? Or does she try and ground the fight and then start to engage her jiu-jitsu? I mean, you know, it's, I think Rose is gonna be the favorite coming into this. I think a lot of people they invest in Rose. They buy into her brand and what she represents. They like the fact that she's not mouthy and flamboyant, and you know, she comes in, she gets her job done, and she's like, you don't see the emotion until the job's finished, and then all of a sudden it's like this relief lifted off her. Like, beforehand it's business. Like, you know, in their first fight, Whaley looks over at the start of the first round to touch gloves, and Rose is like, no, like, we're here for business. Like, she's switched on, she's tuned in, and I think that is, I think that is a very difficult mindset to maintain, and I think she does it incredibly well in very high pressure situations, which is kind of counter to what most people would think of Rose. Like she's always kind of struggled with that psychological hurdle of the spotlight and the weight of the belt and, you know, carrying that championship. But I think every single time she's gone through these scenarios where it's been a psychological challenge for her, she's proved herself wrong, she's overcome it, and she's come out better on the other side. And the version that we saw of Rose last time out, she was impenetrable. She was bulletproof. I mean, she was so solidly focused. And if we look at the last time we're in this kind of situation, this was when she was fighting Joanna the first time around for the belt. She knocked her out in the first round. If we look at what happened in the second fight, she beat her comprehensively over five rounds. I think that's the best way for Rose to go in this one. I think if she stops Whaley again, Whaley's going to be annoyed and she's going to be calling for a rematch. I think Rose needs to dominate Whaley in order for her to, you know, to really prove to Whaley, to really show Whaley that she's not better than Rose. Because this mindset that Whaley's got is incredibly strong. And I don't think that loss is necessarily going to bother her too much. I think if anything, it's going to motivate her to be even better. Okay. So like I was saying, if Whaley starts walking her down and has got a tighter defense, so the long range shots of Rose aren't getting through and she's able to close her down to that range where she's clinched and she's hitting her with elbows and knees and you know, being the more physically domineering fighter, Rose may not be able to take her to the floor. As I said, Whaley's only, she's got 100% takedown defense. It's only based on two takedowns though. Rose's takedown accuracy is, from what I remember, is pretty good. What is it, 53%. The other thing that Rose is really good at is making the best of bad situations with the ability to take the back and hit rear naked chokes. And even if she catches Whaley clean with a shot and hurts her and doesn't finish her, she might make her vulnerable enough to be able to jump on her back and choke her out. But if she's not able to get to the floor, what are her options? Now, if she's closed down, there's one thing that stands out to me, and I wanted to show you this clip. I mentioned it earlier on. Like, Rose's second fight, she lands this flying armbar, which is absolute money. Let me show you this. So, like, you got to think, that single necktie, a flying armbar is, of course, not an easy thing to do. It's not an easy thing to get. And I'm not saying that she's going to leap up and catch the flying armbar and get the submission finished, but she might be able to instigate a grappling exchange with it. And her willingness to jump on a flying armbar would also, it would insinuate that there's a willingness to climb up a back or, you know, dive for an ankle or whatever, like attack limbs in chaotic circumstances. Watch this. This is Rose with hair as well back in Invicta days. Closes down, long left hook, a little bit more ragged in this fight, no doubt. You can see how much she's improving from one training camp to the next. And this is another thing. I'll just briefly interlude. I think both of these fighters are excellent at training focused. I don't think they do much where they're not paying attention. I think they're tuned in. I think they're focused. And I think Rose has got a very, very strong mentality when it comes to training, which is why we see her improve so quickly between fights. I still think she would be better in this fight than she was in the last one. But I also think this will be a more challenging fight. Anyway, let me show you this. So she closes her down, long left hook, and it's not long before her opponent's grabbed a hold of her. So there's that single necktie. It's a bit far away, isn't it? There's that single necktie you can see she's got a hold of. But you can also see that Rose has brought an arm over the top, almost to trap that arm into place. Now as she circles, where are we? Look at that. She's got an underhook on the near side, and she's got the arm over on the far side to keep that single necktie locked in. And then she jumps throws a leg over the head, and as they land, she immediately extends that arm, catches the head, stretches that out. Flying armbar. Wicked. So cool. We don't see them very often. They're so difficult to get. And you kind of, you know, it's always a benefit to do it early in the fight because, you know, the skin's dry. You don't kind of slide off quite as easy. Okay, big left hook. Dun, dun, dun. There you can see the right arm going over the top. You see how it clamps down onto the elbow just there? That's the signifier that she's got it. So at any point, if we see that single necktie from Wei Li and you see Rose kind of clamp down on it, we might be seeing something flash coming out. So look at this. Closed up against the fence, creates a bit of space and then jumps. So cool. And then there is a bit of a scramble here, but she's able to recover it. She throws her opponent forward by hooking on the back of her leg. Just there, you can see that. Pushes her forward and then just stretches that arm out. And there's the tap. But honestly, I mean, you know, the likelihood of us seeing something like that is pretty slim, of course. What we expect is Rose's striking to open up these opportunities for her. And we remember the Waterson head kick. Head kick to rear naked choke. Now, the rear naked choke, I spoke about this before on Inside the Octagon and a few things. The rear naked choke of Rose I really like because she's got a way of adapting it and tightening it. Now, in this position here, you can see how far over Waterson's shoulder Rose's arm is. You can see how deep that bite on the neck is already. Now, Rose goes for a normal rear naked choke position. She goes for that figure four lock. But Waterson pulls the hand off the top of the head. So then Rose goes to this palm for palm. And you'll see her use this against Paige VanZant as well. She goes around. She tries for the proper rear naked choke position. The top hand gets peeled off. So instead of losing the position entirely, she goes palm to palm. And then she uses this like ratchet motion to tighten it up. It's very cool. I've used it myself. And look how she clamps down with her chin as well. Like that neck right there is locking that arm into position because she's still controlling the wrist with this hand. Hook goes in, then she lets go of the wrist, goes to the figure four position, hand on bicep. Fair play to Michelle Waterson. She defends this as well as she can. You can see the top arm just there. Look, you can see her reaching up to try and pull that top arm off. First line of defense is you've got to remove that top arm. And she is able to. She grabs the hand and she pulls it down. So watch how Rose adapts this position here. Now she's clamped on, she's trying to squeeze. A lot of fighters would have not even bothered with that amount of hand fighting and would have just tapped. And this is where Rose has to make the adjustment because you can see Watson's pulled the arm down. So she goes, slides, palm to palm. And then she pulls. She wants the elbow point right underneath the chin. Like a lot of rear naked choke positions, you'll see the flat part of the forearm under the chin with the elbow sticking slightly off to the side. And that's ideal. It puts a lot of pressure across the front of the throat as well as the side. This comes right around the side. So the windpipe is actually in the crook of the elbow. So the compression is either side of the neck. And Rose has just got such a good squeeze. That's palm to palm there. Look at that. Look how she pulls it in. And then goes back to the rear naked choke position to get the finish. Oh, we're still zoomed in. Okay, let me quick summarize this. So Rose on the outside, using her footwork, drifting around, stepping in with stinging shots, looking for that long left hook and then those high kicks, of course, that is going to be a danger for Wei Li. I expect Wei Li to try and close that range down pretty quickly. She'll throw some inside low kicks, but ultimately she wants to close with power punches, get that single necktie and then start working elbows and knees. But at the same time, trying to keep the fight on the feet for the most part. I think Rose needs to be on the outside and stay on the outside. And if that range gets closed down, then initiate a grapple. Or maybe even just come out and initiate grappling straight away when they're dry and when she can make the most of that, you know, that ability to keep clamped onto the skin. Taking the back, attacking arms, it's going to be the game for both of these ladies when they're on the floor. One thing I will say is that Wei Li is much more of a top game player. She really needs to be in top position. And if she is, don't expect her to attack submission straight away. Even with the Aguilar submission being the first round, she still pounded the hell out of her with elbows and hammer fists first. Like, she could be a real problem for Rose if she's able to nullify her and slow her down and start to do some serious damage. It's Rose that's kind of got to keep the grappling exchanges tumbling so she can keep threatening. And on the feet, again, just, you know, don't be engaging in that close range clinch, because I think that's where Whaley's power and aggressiveness in that range come out. I'm looking forward to this one. I don't generally give predictions, but I'm expecting Rose to really, really be able to push Whaley and probably, you know, take a decision again. But it's the ferocity of Whaley when she's in close and what that previous loss has done to her mindset. You know, what does she bring to the table this time around that she's been working? What's her perspective of Rose? How does she feel about her skills comparing with Rose's after being knocked out the first time around? Does she feel like Rose is a better striker? Or does she just feel like she made a miscalculation and moved her leg when she should have moved her head? Great fight. Great fight card, UFC 268. I'm just about to record the War Room for the main event, so make sure you check that one out as well. Catch you next time.